few years ago, Louise, my wife and I, we were on holiday the other side of the country, actually, and we wanted to go to a church one Sunday evening. We just felt we needed to go and get some spiritual renewal. And as we went to this church, we saw it advertised in the newspaper, and we went to this church, and it was a dark, imposing church, not at all like this one. But we went there, and we couldn't actually find the doorway. We didn't know how to get in. The main church doors were kind of locked and bolted, and they were just blank, and we looked around, and then we heard this noise to one side, and there's this youth group going on in parallel, presumably, with the service that was about to start. And so we walked in through this into this youth group and asked them, you know, where's the church? And they said, well, you have to come in through here and then go through that side door and along that corridor and go there and you go into the church because the main doors are currently closed. But we went in. Wasn't the best start, as you can imagine, not being able to even get into the church. But when we got in there, the service was such a blessing. It was a healing service, as it turned out. But the readings and the prayers and what happened there just was beyond the service itself. And God touched my heart and he touched my wife's heart. And I went away from there being really renewed and refreshed and in the presence of God again. And it wasn't what I'd expected when I turned up at that church and couldn't find the way in. And it was such a blessing that even over a decade later, I remember that service and I remember some of the thoughts I got in prayer as I was there. One of those thoughts related to Jacob. And who we're going to be thinking about today, as I want us to think about this reading from Genesis chapter 29 that we had as our first reading. We don't always know, as I ask the children, where God is. We can answer very simply and very honestly and very truthfully, God is everywhere. But sometimes in our lives, we feel that God is distant. He's not with us. He's not present. For some of us, we've had times in our life when we've been really close to God and everything seems to be wonderful. But then we go into this desert, into this wilderness, and no matter how hard we pray, no matter how much we read the Bible, no matter how many services we attend, we don't seem to meet with God and we can struggle. Sometimes we have to look elsewhere or do other things to be really refreshed and renewed by God. Interestingly, I know we've got a service this afternoon at Gwinnett Pit, but I said that when we were there that Wesley had intended to preach somewhere else the first time he went there, and then that wasn't available for some reason, or it wasn't possible, and so he went to this pit, this depression in the ground, and preached there, and subsequently that became his favourite place to preach. The place he most liked to speak to the crowds was from there, but he didn't expect that when he went there first. And I went there earlier this week and again, didn't expect that, but as I was encouraged because I wanted the certificate to do that mile walk around and back up again, I decided to use that like a labyrinth, you know, that kind of method of prayer where you kind of walk around a path. And God touched my heart again. But I didn't expect that Tuesday morning this week, but I was touched by God's heart. This story we've got of Jacob. Jacob, if you remember the story, we have Abraham, the great patriarch, who God says to Abraham, I'm going to make for you a nation, and you're going to be my people, and through you, the whole world will be blessed. And Abraham's childless, and if you know, remember the story, God says you're going to have a son, and he just doesn't get a son, and his wife Rachel's not, doesn't get pregnant, and he sleeps with a slave girl, and she has the son Ishmael, and then Isaac comes along, and it's all a bit messy, but God does bless him when he's 100 years old with this son who's going to be the promised son. And this man Isaac, as Abraham's son, is the inheritor of God's promise. And Isaac, again, has trouble conceiving. And he's about 60 when he has his two children. But he has twins. He has Jacob and Esau. And they fight in the womb and they fight afterwards. And eventually Jacob, who's the schemer and a bit of a deceiver, but he effectively steals the blessing that should have gone to Esau. He's not entirely a nice person at this point, but he steals his blessing, but he receives the blessing from his father and through through Isaac, who blesses Jacob. Jacob's going to be the inheritor of the promised land, the inheritor of God's blessing. And we remember, of course, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. That's how we think of the patriarchs in the Bible. Through them, there's this people come, and it's Jacob who has the sons and the 12 tribes, and it's Jacob who wrestles with God because he wants a blessing, and he wrestles with him all night and becomes named Israel. But in the story we have today, Jacob is in need of a wife so he can have the sons and the daughters to become the people. And because he doesn't want to become ungodly, or his father Isaac doesn't want him to be ungodly, he sends him off to the family, his own family, to find a wife there. And it's on that way to his father's family, where he's looking for a wife, that we pick up the story that we have today. And he comes to the end of the day, a weary long walk, he's got many miles to go. He lays down his head, he picks a stone up for a pillow. Beds were obviously less comfortable in those days than they are today. But he takes this stone and he rests his head on this stone and he lies down to sleep. And that night, he has a dream. And in that dream, he dreams that there's this stairway going up to heaven. But it's not just going up to heaven, it's coming down from heaven. Because he sees these angels on this stairway ascending and descending. And God speaks to him in that dream. He says, I'm your father. I'm the God of your father Abraham and your father Isaac. And through you, you're going to have the blessing. God reiterates to Jacob this promise of this blessing. When Jacob wakes up the next day, he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And he uses that stone from his pillow and makes it into a small altar and praises God. Jacob wasn't the most godly person before he had this dream. He wasn't even searching for God when he lay down to sleep that night. He was searching for a wife. But he was being obedient to his father, and therefore he was being obedient to God's promises and God's word. It was through his obedience that he does what he's told at this point, and he follows and he becomes and gets this blessing of this dream. Now, all of us dream. We have a choice when we wake up in the morning to forget the dream or to remember the dream. Sometimes dreams are best forgotten, let's be honest. But sometimes God is speaking to us through those dreams. For when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and addressed the crowds, he quoted from the prophet Joel and said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. God still speaks to us in dreams, as he spoke to Jacob in that dream. God still wants to speak to each and every one of us. God is in this place. He wants us to hear him. He wants us to lay down our heads and rest in his presence. He wants us to know what he's calling us to do. But he doesn't always do it in a way we expect him to do it. He doesn't always meet us where we want him to meet us. He'll meet us somewhere else. So we have to be open to the move of the Holy Spirit within us. We have to be open to the movement of the Holy Spirit. We have to be open to his voice. We have to not put him aside when he's desperately trying to speak to us. We have to listen out for him wherever we are. Expect him in the unexpected. Expect him in the unexpected place. We need to be seeking and searching and have open hearts and open minds to hear God when he is speaking to us. And we have to have that obedience to do what he asks us to do. God will often surprise us. The places he meets us in won't always be holy. It's not always likely to be in a holy place and a chapel. Not always likely to be in Gwinnett Pitt. It could be at the supermarket. Could be at a friend's house. Could be while you're on holiday. Could be while you're walking the dogs. Could be anywhere, because God is everywhere and he will speak to us when we're ready to hear him. We need to be prepared to know that heaven is where God is. God is everywhere and God is with us. It's both here, now, and not yet. But sometimes we need to open our eyes to see it. Sometimes we need to open our ears to hear it. And always we have to open our hearts to receive it. I'm sure and certain, because it's what Peter said on that day of Pentecost, that he wants each one of us. God wants to pour out his spirit upon each one of us. And he will still speak to each one of us today. Open our ears. Open our hearts for God to speak to us. Let him reveal himself to you. Let us remember that God's holiness is always ascending and descending. It's coming down right where we are right now. His Spirit is with us. His peace is upon us. His love surrounds us. Amen.